I know a four-word sentence that can get a negative reaction from just about anyone who hears it. Are you ready for it? Brace yourself, because it may sting a little, okay? I don't like you. Who likes to hear that? Nobody likes to hear that. I don't like you. Everyone wants to be liked. Do you remember when you were in high school? One of the driving forces of every day was to fit in with everybody else, to be accepted, to be popular, right? In my little high school in Rockingham, North Carolina, in the late 1950s, everyone wore white socks. If you didn't wear white socks, you were not in the in-group. You were not liked very much. I was looking through my old high school annual. All the boys wore crew cuts. I had a crew cut. And all the girls wore very fuzzy sweaters. Now, you may have had different traditions, but you had those traditions, didn't you? Because you wanted to fit in. You wanted to be liked. You wanted to be popular. And that can be a problem. People who need to be popular may be willing to do almost anything to fill that void in their lives. And it can be a bottomless pit of seeking acceptance and craving acceptance from other people. It manifests itself in people who just cannot say no. They are often willing to go along with anything or the loudest voice in the room to be accepted by other people. Whether it is illegal or immoral doesn't matter. Just be accepted. Sometimes the opposite is true. Sometimes it's remaining silent when illegal or immoral things are happening. Or maybe it's making fun of other people, laughing at other people, maybe laughing at someone who's handicapped or laughing at someone who gets hurt. People who want to be popular are people who want to please people. Someone came up with a list of 10 things that indicate that you are a people pleaser. I don't know whether you'll identify with any of these things or not, but I'll share them with you. How do you measure up to this list? Number one, you pretend to agree with everyone. Number two, you feel responsible for how other people feel. Number three, you apologize often. Number four, you feel burdened by the things that you need to do for other people. Number five, you cannot say no. Number six, you feel uncomfortable if someone is angry with you. Number seven, you act like the people around you. Number eight, you need praise to feel good about yourself. Number nine, you go to great lengths to avoid conflict. Number 10, you cannot admit when your feelings are hurt. Now, a number of those things are actually good for people to have, those traits, unless they are in the extreme. And it's when they are in the extreme that we have problems. And those traits are true in all walks of life. One of the most freeing things that I learned when I started working in the church full-time as an employee, it was a famous quote that I'll bet all of you know. It goes this way. You can please some of the people all of the time. You can please all of the people some of the time. But you cannot please all of the people all of the time. Oh, I was so grateful to learn that. And it's not just true in the church, but we are a church, and so we'll talk about that. We'll stick there for obvious reasons. Someone had a clever way to describe that. They came up with what they call lessons from the Tater family. The Tater family is made up of people in the church who are not very popular, partly because they don't seem to care whether you like them or not. For instance, one of the prominent members of the Tater family is Dick Tater. He or she tries to run everything. Everything must be done their way or it's the highway. And it's especially painful when that person is also the pastor. Another member of the Tater family is named Roe. Roe Tater. He's here one day and he's gone the next. He just doesn't understand anything about commitment. You can't count on him. And then there's Sister Aggie Tater. Talk about a troublemaker. If controversy is not already happening, she will stir something up to make sure that there's some controversy. Sister Aggie Tater has a favorite uncle, and his name is Erie Tater. Don't even think of trying to do something new in the church, or he will get irritated, and he'll put a lid on it. An equally sad part of the Christian fellowship is Hezzy Tater. Nothing gets done when Hesitator is around, except straddling the fence. And I wish I had a nickel for every time Brother Spectator showed up, sitting on the sideline and letting everybody else do all the work. And furthermore, no Christian fellowship would be complete without Emmy Tater. She wants her church to be just like the church down the street. And one of the most pitiful members of this Tater family is Amputator. He does not participate anymore. He probably got mad at the pastor and decided he's not going to attend anymore. But lastly, there is one member of the Tater family that we all enjoy having around and we need. And her name is Sweet Tater. She's different from all of the rest. She always has a smile on her face, and she loves her neighbor. She exemplifies the fruits of the Holy Spirit. She never complains, even when the music is too loud and the room is too cold. We like Sweet Taters. They are popular, but be careful, because sometimes Sweet Taters need to be popular. Now, what does any of that have to do with the liturgical focus of today, Palm Sunday? Here's the answer. Jesus Christ did not have a need to be popular. He did not have a need to be liked. He gave up his popularity for the greater good. By all indications, Jesus was the most popular person in Jerusalem that day. Mark 11, 8 through 10, many people spread their cloaks on the road. I always thought it was strange, that hymn that we just sang, that they only gave the credit to the children. I don't know where that came from. It's kind of nice, but it's poetic. Many people spread their cloaks on the road that day, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." The crowd loved him. He was a people pleaser from their standpoint. And their standpoint was that they thought he was going to free them from Roman tyranny. But just a few days later, when he did not do that, he was the least popular person in Jerusalem. He did not deliver what they wanted. Don't ever be a person like that, brothers and sisters. Don't celebrate the popularity of Jesus only to turn against Jesus when things don't go your way. If Jesus had been a candidate for a ruling position that day in Jerusalem, he would have gone right up into the temple and stood in a holy place where everyone could see him, and he would have received the accolades of the people with his hands outstretched and a smile on his face. He probably would have been pointing at people. Have you ever noticed how politicians do that? When everyone's applauding and they come to the podium, they come and they go. Have you ever noticed that? Pointing out, I don't know what they're pointing out. Jesus probably would have done that. But he did not. He wept over Jerusalem. And then he did one of the most unpopular things he could have done. Mark 11, verse 15. Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who were selling doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. He gave up his popularity for purity. For the religious establishment, he was both an agitator and an irritator. He was neither a hesitator nor a spectator. He was a commentator. He spoke the truth. He called for repentance. Listen to verse 17. He said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this, and they began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him. Some of them, as we were reading earlier, were so concerned about the cries of Hosanna that they said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They were afraid the Roman guards were going to draw their swords and cause something horrible to happen. And I love the response that R.B. read. I love the response that Jesus gave. He said in Luke 19, verse 40, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." I love that. If you've been to the Holy Land, you know that there are stones everywhere. In Jerusalem, all through the hillsides of Jerusalem, there are many, many stones. Jesus Christ knew that every atom of the universe, of the creation, sings his praises. The problem is, most people cannot hear it. Lots of people are deaf to the praises of Jesus Christ, even when it is right before them. I certainly hope that none of us are one of those people. If Jesus had wanted to overwhelm the authorities with his popularity in the universe, he could have allowed all those stones to sing his praises that day. What a chorus that would have been. Countless stones rising up in song. Brothers and sisters, let's don't let the stones have all the fun. Let's rise up with them and let's sing his praises whenever we have an opportunity. Let's join the chorus. Let's be Hosanna people. No, Jesus Christ did not ride the popularity train in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. He did instead what he does best. He emptied himself. I wonder if he was thinking of some familiar quotes from the book of Ecclesiastes, such as this: "There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die." He was facing death, and he knew it in just a few days. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh. He saw the sin of his people. He saw his people looking for peace in the wrong places. And he wept. There's a time to scatter stones, and there's a time to gather them. And there's a time to be silent, and a time to speak. Did you watch television yesterday? Did you listen to those young people speaking in Washington? Were you watching when that girl became silent, and when the plus or minus 1 million people fell silent? for 6.5 minutes. Did you see that? There is a time to be silent and a time to speak. It was awesome. It was inspiring. I think we're seeing right before our eyes a living example of David and Goliath. It'll be interesting to watch. There were other times in the ministry of Jesus Christ when he could have ridden the popularity train. Listen to this description. It's from Matthew 8, beginning in verse 18. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he asked for a rabbi's seat to be placed on the mountainside so that he could preach to them. No, that's not what it says. He signed autographs for all the crowd. No, that's not what it says. It actually says he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. And then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Then send in your largest donation so that I can build a larger temple." No, that's not his message. He did not say that. Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have a nest, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus was vastly popular, but he did not ride the popularity train. Such large crowds gathered around him, it says in one place, that he had to get into a boat and come out from the shore because the people were on the shore and couldn't see him. So he had to get out of the boat, and that became his pulpit. And then there's another place that says that the crowd was so thick that they almost crushed him. He could have been the rock star of Galilee if he had wanted to be, but he laid aside his crown. He emptied himself and he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Now, let's take an interrogation light and turn it on, and let's turn it on us. We can be caught up in the popularity trap. And that trap says, I am a worthy person if I am popular. Therefore, I will do whatever pleases other people. That attitude misses a much more important question. Whom should you try to please? Paul asked this in Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? What about you? I suspect your answer is the right answer. But let me ask you this. Are you willing to do whatever pleases God, even at the risk of being unpopular with some people? Let us pray. Lord, you have laid on us gifts of love and responsibility. Help us to maturely receive, Lord, the spiritual gifts you have given to us and use them for your glory and not ours. Let us be willing, Lord, to empty ourselves for the sake of Jesus Christ. May your face shine upon us because we are obedient children. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.